Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I forgot we added that. Let's do it. And they did it last night, man. The Rockets did it. They did a tap dance on the Warriors' face and made them like it.
I never doubted them. I'll tell you what, if there was one steadfast and confident voice in Houston yesterday, it was Seth C. Payne.
That's right.
Just never doubting the greatness and magnificence and the ability of the Rockets to
citing all the history of
the wall.
Coming back from down 3-1 of great Rockets, which is true. The Rockets have actually, in somewhat historic fashion, come back from 3-1 a couple times in their history.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So. And honestly, they scored the most points that they've ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs. That for this team to be the team that scores the most points they've ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs, that's a pretty damn impressive showing.
Yeah, yeah. 131-116, the final score last night. Welcome in, everybody, on a Thursday. The perfect day that I hoped for. In the final segment yesterday, 2 out of 3 happened. The Astros couldn't seal the deal with the Tigers. They left plenty of guys on base to try to seal the deal. We'll get to them in the next segment. But the good news, and LeBron is out of the playoffs. We'll get to that as well. But the big news, 131-116, the final score. The Rockets literally ran the Warriors off of the floor last night. Steve Kerr waved the white flag halfway through the third quarter and put in all the subs, who were a much bigger pain in the ass than the starters were in this game.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, I mean, they had a 30-point lead that they let dwindle down to 17 with the backups in. When the Rockets starters came back in, it still got dwindled down to 13.
Yes.
If there's one good thing to come out of the Warriors' incredible run over the last decade or so, it's that you still had drama in the second half despite having a 30-point lead.
Yeah, I guess. I texted you at halftime because, I mean, this was as dominant a half as the Rockets have played all season. Like, maybe this might be the most dominant performance in a first half that this group has had since they've put this crew together here, the Şengün, Jalen Amen crew that they've got here. And I texted you at halftime. I said, this is going to be a 10-point game at some point. Like, they weren't going to keep shooting 69% from the field and 60% from three. I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek. This team has, when they've gotten big leads in this series, let them slip. Even in the game they won in game two, they were up by 20 points at various times in that game and could have put the foot on the throat of the Warriors, and the Warriors would come back with an 8-0 run or a 7-0 run. So I thought a run would come in the second half of this game. I didn't think it would come with the Warriors' backups in against the Rockets' backups. And maybe I'm being overly critical. And this, I mean, good for them going out and running the Warriors off the floor. Like, I should be much happier about this than if it were a close game, because the Rockets really showed what their ceiling was last night. The starters and the rotation, the eight guys that matter, did. The game ended, and I'm like, why am I so agitated right now? Like, why am I so agitated that he brought the bench in, and they were shooting, like, they were taking shots. It was the opposite of what the Rockets have been doing in this series. They would come in and take shots, like, 3 seconds into the shot clock.
Yeah,
like
Jabari Smith Jr. was just, right, this is, okay, hey, you guys, you get to go in and play.
Yes.
But just, like, just be somewhat responsible about it.
Yes.
Jabari Smith Jr. is like, yeah, hot potato.
Yeah, they're like, no, I'm going to drive this car really fast. I know you're finally letting me drive the car. You're going to drive it. So I don't want to get too. I don't want to get too swept up in that. You know, it was a great win.
And honestly, when the backups come in, you've got guys that have barely touched the floor at all in this playoffs, and it's. Ultimately, I guess that's on Udoka. This is a team. In the Rockets, that did squander what a 15-point lead with 4 minutes left against Minnesota earlier this season.
They had one against Miami as well. Yes.
Yeah.
They had a couple games like that. I was surprised that he you know, like almost gentleman's agreement with Steve Kerr that we're going to all put our backups in. I know he didn't have a gentleman's agreement, but I was surprised.
Yeah.
That Udoka, given that if you lose this game, your season is over. Like, don't let any opening here for these guys, you know? Like,
it was a weird night because the Warriors actually out-rebounded the Rockets to relative rarity for the Rockets. But when it really, really mattered and when the Rockets built up their lead, they converted 5 of their 7 offensive rebounds while the Warriors went 8 of 23. And it was just a deluge of basically Amen Thompson taking what he wanted from the Warriors buffet and in the first half. And getting running. And I'll tell you what I was most upset about last night, Sean. The halftime show on TNT. I flipped over. I want to be sure. Oh, let's see what they got to say with it. Boy, it looked like a bunch of old men who were like had taken all their meds. They were just, you know, when you sometimes walk into an old folks home and everybody's just kind of sitting around at the lunch.
What did they say? Like, I didn't watch. What did they just not give the Rockets?
Chuck said the same thing 3 times. You know, they're running and, you know, they're pushing the pace and that's what they got to do. Yeah.
Okay. Were they disappointed?
And then Kenny Smith said, yeah, I mean, the Rockets aren't going to lose this game.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of when they decide to pull their starters.
It's very boring. It was very boring. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know what analysis. I thought about that this morning. I'm like, what nuanced takes do we have on this game last night, the chess game between Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka? The Rockets shot the ball really well, and the Warriors didn't show up last night. Like, there really isn't. I didn't see what you're talking about. In their defense, there's not a lot to say. Like, the Rockets at halftime were shooting 69% from the field, 60% from three, and maybe the biggest one was they were shooting 85% from the line. They're making their free throws when it mattered last night. When it was still a game, they were making free throws last night.
They weren't just, pooping their pants at the free throw line. These simple things. And some of the guys that don't have to be huge scorers actually being efficient players.
Yep.
So that was really good to see. They had their backs against it. What did I ask for? Honestly, without sarcasm yesterday, was, hey, with their backs against the wall, can they show up and deliver? And they did it the way they need to do it. Amen Thompson, in particular, was the best version of himself. The other big part of it, and I will credit the Warriors players and Steve Kerr for this because they are not making a big deal out of it, even though the Warriors broadcast and idiotic fans are. Look, they're going after Steph Curry's thumb.
Yeah.
Honestly, Steve Curry, I tried real hard to listen for any snideness or snarkiness in it. Steve Kerr basically said, yeah, I mean, that's what the rules are right now. They allow you to swat a guy's hand after the ball's gone. It's been happening all year. Steph's got a thumb. They're going to go after it. And that's what the Rockets should be doing.
Dylan Brooks talked about this after the game. Dylan Brooks was the one who was getting the most heat for it. And there was one particular play where Steph was openly complaining about it, and it was Dylan Brooks who hit him. Here was Dylan Brooks after the game last night when he was asked about it.
Dylan, one of the Warriors broadcasters tonight said he thought you were intentionally trying to swipe down on Curry's thumb. And Kerr was asked about it and said, it happens around the league, that it's allowed by the rules, so players throughout the league do that. What do you think about that?
No, I've been playing the game. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
It's very football mentality. You know what I mean? You know a guy's got a rib, where are you going to hit him? You know, like you're going to hit him in the ribs.
Right, right.
You know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah, if your running back comes into a game with bruised ribs, you're going to just be sure you attack the midsection. It is weird that they allow it, and it's one of those things that this year people are really exploiting. So be it, and they can take it up in the postseason with the rules committee.
Yeah, ask the competition committee about it in the offseason. We got a series to win here. So that was good last night, man. That was very, very low stress until midway through the fourth quarter. I did get nervous when he brought the starters back in. I mean, when they got taken out, you know, you turn off the gas, you know, like you,
yeah,
you start to die down a little, the adrenaline starts to go away, you know,
mentally, physically,
checked
everything.
Out.
It
yeah.
is.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's kind of when you've been taken out of the game, because this happened to me once in a preseason game when there was no chance I was going to be, you know, I was a starter, I was a veteran, I got taken out, and I had no thoughts whatsoever of playing. And then all of a sudden there was a deluge of injuries with the young guys.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of the veteran starters. So they were like, hey, Seth, get ready, you might have to go back in. And it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
Now with that, it was. I mean, I'd been sitting around for over an hour or so.
Right.
But yeah, you're not. I had the same concern, Sean. Like, all right, God, please, nobody pull a hammy when they go back in here.
Injuries. I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking about the lead in the game. Like, and then they give up a couple buckets, and it's down to 13 all of a sudden. You know.
It was dual for me. It was the lead in the game, but more likely if. If the lead kept to dwindle, once the lead was down to 13, I thought, oh, these guys are really going to have to start playing hard, and that's when you pull a hammy or something because you've already gotten
pulled. Or even when Amen Thompson went to the hoop that one time after they came back in, and it looked like somebody got him in the midsection on the way to the hoop, and he's down. He did that thing where he's down face down on the floor, and he's not flipping over, you know, and that's when you're like, oh, God. This bench, because they blew, you know, they gave up. They came in. They were up 29. They came. The white flag moment was with 50 seconds left in the third quarter. Jock Landale and Reed Sheppard came in. They are the two walking surrender, not surrender flags for the Rockets, but they're like sort of the get ready crew is in. This game is over. And in 4 minutes, they coughed up 12 points of a 29-point lead. You know, and so
And this is a game where, look, if you want to be a genuinely great basketball team at some point, I don't think you can rely on Fred VanVleet being the yard marker for whether, hey, if Fred plays awesome, then you're going to beat this team in the playoffs. That's going to dry up come the conference semifinals or the conference finals in any given year. So with Jalen Green, I kept trying to just be as cool as possible and say, all right, you know what? I just got to remember, as long as you're not relying on him or depending on him to be the alpha, and he doesn't turn the ball over. I don't think he had
that's
a single turnover
thing.
Last night.
Yeah, that's the big
all right.
thing.
He played professional basketball, scores 11 points, whatever. If you do bring, let's say they brought in Antetokounmpo and Jalen Green wasn't part of the package.
Yeah.
You're going to see a better version of Jalen Green if you've got other actual alphas and difference makers out there.
It could be that he's just a supreme complimentary player. That might be his thing.
Right,
you
right.
know, that
I just have,
he has the occasional 38-point game, but nights like last night, like just don't lose the game for, you know, like he took 8 shots, he didn't turn the ball over, had 8 rebounds, attacked the glass, had a couple of assists in 28 minutes. That's fine. Like, you know, as long as everybody
else is
hitting.
He had a really, really nice kick out to Tari Eason for that corner three.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff that you can see. So, but he has definitely 100% reached that level where I have no qualms about trading him. It's I'm being generous in that I think. As long as you don't expect him to be somebody that he's never really shown he can be, which is a game-in, game-out alpha, then, yeah, he can be a valuable part of your basketball team.
Yep.
But I also there's zero part of him that's untouchable.
I think it's interesting. Şengün and Jalen Green had the least field goal attempts of the starters last night. You know, but everybody was clicking last night. There wasn't a single guy who wasn't doing really good things out there. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we're off and running. Good job, Rockets. 3-2, the series. Back to San Francisco they go. For game 6 on Friday. It's going to be a fun Friday night, man. You get a little Astros action on Friday night there in Chicago, and you get a little Rockets action as well in San Francisco. 8 o'clock tip on Friday night in game 6. All right, speaking of the Astros, they got some big news yesterday. We've got a hard date on the return of Lance McCullers. Also, they could not sweep the Tigers, but good things coming out of this series, I would say, as they head up to Chicago to hit a little nice easy patch of the schedule. We'll dig into the Astros from yesterday, and we'll get to headlines a little later on this hour. We're off and running on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast, stay there.